This last Friday, I spent a portion of the day reading through Papers Past, that's the digitalised record of all Dunedin's newspapers, about the Reverend Vincent Brian King, who was the son of Brian King, the vicar here who turned the world upside down and changed the whole character of the parish. Well, Vincent Brian King was a most unusual person. He, after his ordination, rejoiced under the title of chaplain to public institutions. But already before that, under the tutelage of his dear old dad, he'd been superintendent of the Sunday school here for over a decade, had been involved up to his eyeballs in what was called then the Forbury Mission, that laid the groundwork for the eventual creation of the parish of Holy Cross St Kilda. Under his new job, when he was eventually ordained, he was chaplain to the jail, the hospital, the benevolent institution down the end of Eastbourne Street here, and the industrial school. But he didn't leave things there. He also founded a men's mission in Fillall Street. Is that how you pronounce it? I can never say that name properly. And the first day the men's mission opened, a big, rather aggressive man challenged him to a fight, and he threw him to the ground because he was expert in jiu-jitsu. In successive weeks, gangs of toughs came into the men's mission and broke up the furniture. But the Reverend King, together with the Brotherhood of St Andrew, a group of idealistic young men, often repelled boarders. And eventually, despite all the warnings about the police that this would never work, it became a centre of considerable help to many men who were down and out on their luck. And I might add that Vincent Brian King was a shrewd judge of people. He was very discerning about who were scroungers, people telling stories which were quite fictional in order to extract money. And he was very good at discerning who those who were in genuine need. And so the mission came to be a great source of, meals to people, job opportunities, a chance for a bath and fresh clothes, a chance to read magazines and papers. And he didn't just leave it there. When the influenza epidemic began in late 1918, there was so much trust in him. The medical officer appointed him really the flu czar for Dunedin. He broke Dunedin up into blocks to be looked after by groups of medical students and volunteer nurses. And getting people to offer their motor cars, very few people owned them in those days, they would fan out across Dunedin and its surrounding areas to pick people up with the flu and bring them to hospital or to minister to them in situ. One of the results of that is that Dunedin was better organised before the influenza epidemic got here in its full severity than most other parts of New Zealand, and the actual death toll was considerably lower than most other cities in New Zealand. Well, the locals were so impressed with him, they gave him a motor car and £1,000, which was put into a trust fund for his later activities. He was given £100 for himself. And through the interwar years, all of this continued. The newspapers were full of cases and situations that he was commenting on, involved in, chaplain to the Scout movement, very involved in the formation of the Monticello Home for Wounded War Veterans and so forth. Really, he became one of the most widely respected citizens of Dunedin in the interwar period. Professor John Stenhouse has talked about the way in which golden rule Christianity, many people who wouldn't go near a church thought that, do unto others as you would be done by, was the core of the gospel, and this was a man who embodied it all. Well, a second person I want to talk about now is somebody I wrote about in the second to last edition of The Rock, the American Lutheran theologian Robert Jensen, who died recently. What a major influence he has had on my life. When, as the vicar of St. Peter's Willow Street, I picked up his two-volume systematic theology, I thought these were books that were reading me and my parish in all its difficulties. And really, he both reawakened an interest in serious theological study in me and also brought about a considerable change of bearings in my whole approach to my commitments and loyalties to the great issues facing the Western Church. And it was really a go-deeper message, which has been just crucial and refreshing and renewing my ministry at a crucial time. I only met him ever once when he came to Dunedin for a theology conference, but he's somebody who's also had a major influence on my life. Finally, I want to talk about the Reverend Evan Ardley, who actually came here late last year, came to a 10:30 service, stayed for one of our potluck lunches. He was making a final visit to New Zealand. He was dying of prostate cancer, and he in fact died in San Francisco earlier this year. Well, I met him in the late 1960s when he was the curate of St John's Rangiora, at a time of late adolescent loneliness, boredom, frustration, and generally being, a young man confused about life. And he made room in his life for me. I could go and see him at his place, talk to me. He was just fascinatingly different to the other kind of young men who were around in New Zealand in the late 1960s. And he's been was a decisive shaper of my vocation. He reawakened that sense that had first come to me at my confirmation, that maybe I should be up the front doing what the man up there was for doing. And I began to believe that it might be possible for me to kind of fill out as a human being enough to want to do that. He was the beginning of what I would call a transmission belt of young priests who I met one after the other, who began to have that kind of encouraging influence to shape my vocation. Evan, in fact, after becoming the vicar of Rātahi, I remember that awful place to visit him one time, went to do a degree in church music through the University of Berkeley in California, and then became a priest in the Episcopal Church, and eventually became, towards the end of his ministry, an expert in hospice ministry. He had that remarkable pastoral gift. If he was here with you now, he could make you feel as though you were the only person in the room. Well, none of these men will ever make it into the official pantheon of saints, but each in their own way were remarkable Christian people. They were, so far as I'm concerned anyway, inspirers, encouragers, and exemplars. And they were certainly not perfect. They all had their flaws. Vincent Bryan King always struggled with what we might call work-life images. Issues. He could never, take enough holidays or days off or rest from the responsibilities of his job, and had two major breakdowns in his ministry. Robert Jensen always seemed to be getting into rows on theological faculties he was on. It was a kind of contrarian instinct to him. If the majority takes this opinion, it must be wrong. And Evan had a real streak of sarcasm in him about other people. He'd go down in a line of clergy before a procession to the cathedral and comment acidly on all their academic hoods and things like that. But I think that the world is the better for their having passed through it. And that's my message for all saints, really. Who are your saints, your people like this? The people on whose shoulders you stand to be a Christian now. The people who came along at just the right time for you and who, for all their flaws, have been the people who decisively moved you along the next stage in your Christian discipleship. And I think it would be good in the week ahead to give call them to mind, to give thanks to them. And of course, because the church spans space and time, spans the generations, was there in the past and will be there in the future, we will meet these people again, or for the first time in the case of Vincent Bryan King, and we will know them transformed and transfigured as we will be. And so there's a sense of not just their act of encouragement. I was always amazed at the way in which Evan Ardley was always visiting websites of parishes I was vicar of and sending me emails from time to time like a benign angel hovering over me. And in a sense, we will get to meet these people and be with them in a crucial way. And as I say, my message to you is, who are these people in your life, these anonymous saints who are never going to make it into the front rank of the acknowledged saints of the church, but who, nevertheless, your Christian walk has been decisively shaped by? Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.